bit by bit, putting it together, piece by piece. Only way to make a work of art. Every moment makes a contribution. Every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution. Everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering art and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
And you're your host for Art on the Air. By the way, our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, hey, call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them both for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, helping us get on the air today.
Hey, Greg.
If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts or arts-related event, exhibit, or appear as an artist, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Hey, our program, along with all programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. So if you can't hear us over 103.1 FM, you can hear us there. And Art on the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. You can also listen to all of our past shows at our show archive. And that's at Breck, that's BRECH.com/AOTA, Breck.com/AOTA. Hey, our shows are carried by WIUN, so that's Red Hawk Radio. That's IU Northwest Closed Circuit Radio Station. So you can go there. And there. Now we'll talk about some of the things. But first of all, if you like our show and everything, or like what WVLP is listening for, we're looking always for supporters, underwriters, and things like that. It's ever so easy. Esther and I especially would like, if you'd like to underwrite this show, Art on the Air. It's so easy to find out information about that. Go to WVLP.org/support. We have underwriter levels at different levels, and they're way to support, you know, because we are a community radio station that's supported by the listeners. You know, you can find out information at that web address.
Commercial free, too.
Commercial free, for the most part, just for our underwriters and our guest. Yes. So don't be just a WVLP listener. Become a supporter and underwriter, because like I always say, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel real good about supporting this station and our ongoing thing. Hey, we have another announcement too that you can support WVLP. It's our hog roast. This is our fundraiser for WVLP on July 12th. And we're a little less than 4 weeks away from that. And that's on Friday, July 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. The cost is $20. But the good part of that, if you bring the family with one paying adult, children under 12 eat free. So you can bring a family. It's at the Butterfield Pavilion. That's the intersection of Calumet and Evans. And this fundraiser is a great way to meet your show hosts, chat with them off the air, and also have a great dinner. So that's another thing that you can do for us. Also, we have the 9th Annual Living Up Music Festival, Porter County Special Olympics, called Zao Stock. That's July 14th from 1 to 9 p.m. And there's going to be music from a whole wide range of things. You can contact John King at 219-309-0070. And that's just another thing there.
Oh, so there was another thing, too. In Valparaiso, tomorrow is the Soapbox Derby. And I think Valparaiso has been in it the longest of anyone in the country.
Oh my gosh.
So you can be there and make history tomorrow.
There you go. Well, we're going to move on to our arts calendar before we get to our guests. What we're doing is something different with our arts calendar. We're not going to read you all the hyperlinks, all the phone numbers, all the addresses. We have that on our website at breck.com/AOTA. Click on the arts events link, and you can read the details of everything.
Thank you so much for doing that. It's so good.
Well, I want to spend more time with our guests, and that way we don't have to do this. So I'll move on to our arts calendar, starting with Porter County, Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, Brower Museum, Corey Hegel, which we had on last week with Greg.
The week before,
you're right. Yeah. And he has No Beauty in This is his thing. Plus, they have new acquisitions and everything like that. You can look on the website there to find out information. The Village Gallery at the Pines continues with Kathy Loss Rathburn's exhibit going through the middle of July. And it's her. If you're familiar with Kathy's work, this one is called Regional Industrial Insights. Most of her stuff has been scenics and things like that. It's a whole different. She's a great watercolor artist. And she's there through about the middle of July when some other guy's going to have some photography exhibit there for a month, you know, and everything. So you can find out information.
Do we know him?
Yeah, it's going to be about 20 pieces in that thing that he's still pulling out there. So Chesterton Arts Center in Chesterton continues the June their exhibits. Dune Women's Club exhibit is going through the end of this month. Then in July, they'll feature the work of Deb Szymanski and Sharon Goodall and Sarah Brandsetter, and they're doing Captured Moments, so that'll be in July. They have also just added a new session of ceramics starting July 1st, and Mark Vandervine does his critique night, but it's not on his regular Wednesday. It's going to be on June 26th this month, so you can go there. They also have a Herb Helton watercolor workshop. It's a two-day watercolor workshop on July 29th, 30th. It's going to be almost an all-day session from 9 to 4 for 2 days. So you can find out all about that. They have summer camps there. Again, Chesterton Arts Center, you can find out the information at our arts page. Art Barn is continuing with their 26th annual juried art exhibition through the end of June. An original painting, a whole wide variety of things. No photography, but they will still do that. We're working on that.
You are. You all are right. Single-handedly going to change that dynamic.
One way or another. You know, we want them to regard photography as art. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques, and also in Chesterton. They're doing another acrylic pour class on July 27th at 6 p.m. And this will be a 16 by 20 canvas. And you can learn all the techniques. It's a $50 fee. I'll be taught by Carrie Silkowski. You can find out all the information, again, at our website and everything and the Facebook page. Duneland Photography Club just finished their exhibit. They're going to have another one soon. And you can find out information about them, again, on Facebook. They don't have a website. The Tony Stanzas at 4th Street Theater on June 29th, 8 to 9 p.m. They'll be doing fun things with improv. And then also there's going to be a workshop sponsored by 4th Street Theater, June 24th through 20th, improv for kids. So it's at noontime, so if you want to get the kiddies out of the house and teach them some improv, that'd be a great place. And then we'll talk about this later, but at the Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Our guest today will talk more about this coming up, but we have Lee Ligotti, Contemplating 70 Years exhibit. There's much for her to discuss about. Each piece tells a story, and the opening reception was June 14th, sorry about that, and the exhibit will go through July. So that's what we have going on in Porter County. I know you have a big list.
I know
list.
I have to take a deep breath.
Deep breath for LaPorte County, so go for it.
All right. The Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way. Their exhibit is Rush, and their gallery hours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. The Dune Summer Theater at 288 Shady Oak Drive in Michiana Shores is showing Smoke and Mirrors, a fun murder mystery. And that will be June 21st and 22nd at 7 p.m. and June 23rd at 2 p.m. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, their new exhibit is The Chicago Imagists Before and After. It runs through October 19th and is showing in all three galleries. Southern Shore Art Association, the gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street. Their new exhibit is Collected Expressions. It features the annual show with the Duneland Plein Air Painters, and that exhibit runs through June 30th, and the gallery is open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. SFC Gallery is at 607 Franklin Street and is showing the work of watercolor artist Mary Vihan. This exhibit runs through the end of the month. Bling Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. Artists do artists. Have you ever wondered who inspires or influences artists? They have a large list of artists who are exhibiting, and the show will run through July 28th. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street. They are featuring new work by Neil Kienitz titled Windswept, and this exhibit also runs through June 30th. Gallery hours Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 to 4, Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, 11 to 4. The Canterbury Summer Theater at 807 Franklin Street. The Canterbury proudly presents its first musical of the 2019 season, The Queen Bees, which runs through June 29th. I heard the rehearsal. It sounds really,
that's right, next
really
door to you.
Wonderful. I know. I can hear it through the walls. It's great. Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street. On exhibit in the gallery is the photography of Joel Brussel titled The Somewhere Else of Being Here. June 22nd, Saturday, come join us to celebrate the release of Jonathan Root's new CD, The Last Picture Show, and we also have the Halo Moon Band. Beer, wine, and other beverages will be available for purchase. The event is free of charge, thanks to the Michigan City Main Street Association. June 30th is the Stairways Workshop, the liminal space of storytelling. Roger Batten and Valerie Murak are co-facilitating the Stairways Storytelling Workshop. Through this process, you will become aware of the five layers of stories and in a very supportive environment. And this is run by My Path Bibliotherapy Storytelling Workshops to transform your perspective of stories that you have held frozen and unchanging since the event occurred in your past. Sign up today and reserve your space. They request a $30 minimum donation to attend the workshop, and all proceeds support MyPath's mission. July 13th, the Michigan City Downtown District Merchants and the Uptown Arts District are holding the Soiree, an evening on the runway and after party. And this is a fashion show with a really fun twist, and it's held at the Friendship Botanic Gardens starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are $35. Merchants have tickets available. Food is catered by Fiddlehead. July 19th at 7 p.m. is Nick Orbovich and the Chamber Musicians. They'll be having a mini concert. And that concert is free of charge, and there'll be a cash bar. And a writer's group is starting. Message us if you're interested, and details can be found on the Nest Michigan City's Facebook page. And there we go, LaPorte.
That's quite a bit in LaPorte. And a lot going on at the Nest. Yeah. You're just a busy camper.
Well, there's
there.
Also the South Shore Mini Maker Fair happening tomorrow as well.
Right.
Yeah, at Westcott Park.
So. Well, busy. Well, we're going to move to Lake County. One thing going, if you're interested in the arts, Lakeshore PBS, who was off the air for about 4 months because a transmitter went down, had to do tower fix. And because they were off the air, the combination of the repairs and loss of revenue is about over $700,000. So they've come with a special called Eye in the Arts, which is a program they run all the time. But now they're going out in the community with video, and they're running an Eye in the Arts special. It's an hour-long special. It's a pledge special. Yes, you'll see me on the air pledging for the station doing that. They're going on through June. I want you to give you all the dates. That's on our website. But you can see the rebroadcast. It's got the links to the station. You can see that. 119th Street Artists in Cornerstone Gallery. Their final concepts and compositions exhibit opens July. The exhibit July 1st with a reception on July 12th. You can find out details there. Yes, I have three pieces in that show. And then that will run for about 2 months. And then the final exhibit before they lose the gallery space is with Sarah Pete Convery. And she'll be there September, October. And then 119th Street is either going to have to do something or move on or something like that. It's kind of sad. Some of these small art galleries, what's happening?
Do you have the inside track on that? What are they? Are they in any... They're, are they close to finding what they're going to do?
They had a board. I have trouble going to the board meetings from Chesterton to Whiting, so I'll talk to Caitlin, who's running the group right now, see what's going on, because then they can go to our next group on our list, maybe merge with Studio 659, which is also in Whiting. And they're finishing up their exhibit called Fandom, which is about superheroes, cult classics, and underappreciated inspired. You can see their website. They're open on weekends on Whiting, and you can find out there. South Shore Arts. They continue to register for summer classes. If you missed out, you can still get that. They are having a family arts festival on Sunday, rain or shine. Mm-hmm. There's free music, theater games, crafts, wizard hats, and everything like that. There are some options for a fee. You can do things. There'll be food there and everything like that. Yesterday, I was at their table talk for the arts in the area, and South Shore Arts is reaching out to artists and everything and how they can better serve their Region 1 area, which is the three-county area.
Very interesting.
And so I got some input. One of the things I said is make their arts calendar a more central repository. The suggestion I made is bring artists and artist groups in so they know to send things in there, so there's a central thing, and then we can use that calendar also.
That's true. Make it a lot easier.
Bachman Gallery is having Tales from the Biosphere from Renee McGinnis. I got to see the exhibit. It's a beautiful exhibit in their main gallery there, and that'll be running through there. The Atrium Gallery is right now just moving away from the Birds exhibit. Toll Theater will feature Annika Detker in their next exhibit coming up. And then at Cafe Fresco, Avery, paintings by Lindsay Sandbooth, and she's doing that. And then, of course, that's all they have for South Shore Arts. At the Welcome Center at Kennedy and in Hammond, Kennedy Avenue and I-94, they have 61. It's an exhibit celebrating the 61st National Park. It's more than just an art exhibit. It's an interactive thing. They will have a sandbox to play in, and they have things representing all the areas of the National Park there, the new National Park. So you can go see that. There's a whole bunch of information on our website. You can find find out. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District. They've taken the Haunts exhibit that was at South Shore Bachman Gallery, and they're doing it at the Marshall J. Gardner Center. So that's in Lake Street and Gary. You can see that. Again, information is online. And they're also doing some other things. They're doing a comedy fundraiser on June 15th. There's a web link for that. And then on June 20th, they're starting a Thirds Thursday for Live on Lake Street with the different artists. This time it's in June is Nick Danger's coming up. So South Lake Artist Cooperative, as we all call them, SLAC, are a group of artists. They finished their geometry exhibit at the Wild Rose Brewery. They have texture going at the Sip Coffee House, and they have a call for art. As you can find out information, they're only on Facebook. You can do that. It's a loose group of things they do. They're things at Wild Rose Brewery, the two Sip Coffee Houses, and wherever. You'll see them around. Calumet College is looking for art teachers, an adjunct faculty position in digital studio arts, and a full-time faculty director. I now have the web link there that goes to their HR department. You can find out information about that. Again, find out there. And Between You and I, it's a photography exhibit by Felix Mondolano. He has a whole wide range of photographers. I wasn't able to get into that one because I've just got too many things out right now. But the Hammond Development Corporation, it's on Holman Street in Hammond. They're representing about 9 area photographers, and you can find out information on that. So that's all we got for Lake County. If you want to have your information on our show, please send it to Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. That's artontheair@wvlp@gmail.com. Be happy to put it on the air and also put it on our arts events page.
Yes, please.
So, please, please, please. Well, now we're going to move on to our guests, and you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program. We are pleased to have Karen Brown, who's from the Depot Museum and everything. She's the curator director there, and our current artist there is Lee Legaki. They're there for doing their current exhibit and also talk about Karen's next exhibit coming in July. So welcome to the show, Art on the Air.
Thank you.
Well, first we'll start with you, Karen. Talk about, I think you've been involved with, tell us a little bit of how your involvement is with the Depot and how that started.
Well, I started with the Depot as a board member 6 years ago. And the Depot is a nonprofit organization, and it is run by a wholly volunteer board. So everybody that is associated with the board, myself included, is there on a volunteer basis. And so initially I was just a board member. Within a year of being on the board, they were in need of a new curator. I have no curatorial experience, but I am a warm body and was willing to volunteer, and so stepped into that role. And initially, very frightening and frustrating,
right?
Because I don't have curatorial experience. But not having that kind of experience allowed me to experiment and kind of find a path of my own. And that's been 5 years now. This is the sixth season, I think, that I have curated, fifth or sixth season that I have curated at the Depot. And we're starting to become recognized in the community as more than just a train station,
right?
Which is really pretty exciting. And another reason why I'm so thankful that you had us on the air today, so that we could get the message out that the Depot Museum and Art Gallery is a nonprofit organization in the historic train station in Beverly Shores. There are historical exhibits, so the historical exhibits change every 2 months. In the history or the museum side of our building. And then we have a gallery, and the art exhibits in the gallery change monthly. So it's pretty exciting stuff. And we've had some amazing artists there, like Lee, who is there this month.
Well, we'll talk to Lee in just a minute. Let's talk a little bit about your background, though. Where you grew up, where you went to school, how you got from here, from where you were to where you are now.
Well, I have always lived in Northwest Indiana. The Beverly Shores region, the Dunes region, was my playground. I actually lived in or grew up in an area that is now part of the National Park. And so, you know, we raised horses. I would ride down to the beach. It was an idyllic childhood. So coming back to the lakeshore in 2011 with my husband was pretty magical for me. And then I just gradually became part of the community and found a way to volunteer in the community that fit with me. With respect to arts training, I have none.
Oh, that's okay.
I grew up around animals. I went to college or pursued a, initially my degree was going to be in veterinary science and diverged from that path a little bit, but ended up obtaining a doctorate in clinical psychology and work full-time as a clinical psychologist.
And you still do then?
I still do that, yes. I have my own practice in a couple locations and I'm pretty busy and feel really good about being able to help people make sense of their lives,
sure,
or grow in ways that they want to grow.
And you find that the art is an outlet for you, you know, because you're, anyone in doing that, you're taking the weight of the world on yourself, you know, because you become an avid listener. This gives you a way to...
Well, yes. I think that art does that. And I do sometimes do art therapy,
right,
with people that come to see me. But, you know, in the work that I do clinically in my day job as a therapist, it's about process.
Sure.
And it's not about outcome. Art lets me see the outcome and have something tangible and finished at the end.
Very good. Well, we're going to explore Lee here. She's your current exhibit and everything, and we'll talk a little bit more about your art later because you're coming up with an exhibit in July. So, Lee, give us your background a little bit about where you came from and how you got here and what you're doing now besides art.
Well, I was born in Hammond, Indiana, but then our family moved to our farm, small farm in Kiwanis, Indiana. It was been in the family five generations, so
wow,
we moved kind of back to the home ground. And I grew up in this small community of 600 people, but I was highly influenced by my uncle and my grandmother, David Norris and Helen Norris, out of Hammond. And I would go up to visit them, and we would take the South Shore into Chicago, and then we would spend the day in Chicago at the Art Institute or the museums. So being from a small community of 600 people, that was a major influence in my life of understanding and being visually aware of the arts. I went to the opera, I went to the plays, musicals. My aunt and uncle both play the harp. They played the harp for the Lyric Opera.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had all this background that I was exposed to, so it made me quite aware of being outside of the very conservative mindset that I was living in.
What did you gravitate toward when you went to Chicago? Was it the museums? Was it the music?
Well, I love both. Mm-hmm. I played a musical instrument all through high school. Plus, since I can remember, I've been drawing. There were six children in the family. Having expensive art materials was not available. So I would always have a pencil in my hand and a sketchbook. And the horrible thing is every time I turn around, I was asking my mother for a new notebook because my notebook was full of drawings. I may not have listened to class, but I sure was drawing everything that was around in the classroom. So that's how.
Did they recognize that in school? I mean,
oh yes, yeah. And they really promoted me to take art classes, and as much as I could in the small school, I would do everything I could in the arts, and I would do set and stage designs for the class,
the
and I would do that kind of stuff. So I ended up, when I did go back to college when I was in my 40s, I took set and stage design, I took communications and art. So I had like three majors going on when I was in school.
Very good. What kind of stage design did you do for? Because being a theater guy, I'm interested in that.
Oh, well, for the plays, I took courses at IUN,
okay,
Northwest, and so we would do the set stage designs for the theater groups,
okay,
at IUN.
Excellent. Yeah, being a theater guy, I was producing two musicals and two straight plays a year at a high school, plus we did 60 events a year there.
Yeah, my daughters were, my youngest daughter, she was a ballet student and was studying with a professional, so they had a lot of plays,
right,
and ballets going on, so I would do a lot of the head costumes and design costumes,
oh, sure,
for it, so I had... Every year they were asking me, can you do the headpieces? Can you? And I said, yes, I'll do the headpieces. But my grandmother, she used to design and make hats for Marshall Fields. So I had a little bit of that background with her, just hanging out with her, doing all that kind of stuff.
So we got you
nice jeans there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the artistic jeans came through.
We have a siren going on. There we. So we got you there. How did you get to Northwest Indiana, like where you are now? You were in the little community, and
well, I still live only 17 miles from where I grew up.
Okay,
so I live in Winnemac, Indiana.
Okay,
I was married previously and ended in a divorce, and I have this small farm. It's like 200 acres, but I designed and built a bed and breakfast type of inn. And it's called Tortuga Inn. And what I did is, there was such a need in our community. We had one small inn that was going downhill. And I did a lot of entertaining when I was married previously, and a lot of people stayed with us because there was no place to stay. I thought, you know, I'm just going to do an inn. So crazy me, in 1993, I built this, and I've been open since 94. And I've been sold out all the time. So
you've done it. So, I mean, I saw it on the website. It's so charming.
Yeah.
All
Thank
your different you. Rooms. And do you like turtles? Is that why you need
Yes. And the turtles live. I swore that I would not change the riverbank because of the properties on the river. I would not change the riverbank so the turtles could migrate up, because they would migrate up, lay eggs in my sand fields, and then come down in the spring. And that's how I came up with Tortuga Inn. But it gives me the option to be able to have all that environment around me and to paint and draw. So I'll sit in the morning and have coffee with a sketch pad, and I'll draw the trees, and I'll draw the sunlight coming through, and all kinds of things every day and every night. So I unwind at night my drawing, and to my coffee in the morning, or tea or hot water, whatever I drink, I do the drawings in the morning.
And while we're still in the bed and breakfast, go ahead and put a shout out for yourselves. Is there a website that they can look at? And
yes, it's called TortugaInBB.com.
Okay, and you can find it and stay there, and it's like on water and everything like that?
Yep, it's on the Tippecanoe River, and we're on Airbnb and Bookings.com. And so we've done so well that we've got a 9.4 rating on Bookings and a 4.9 on Airbnb.
So out of five. So
out of five.
Yeah. Excellent. So, yeah, we lived next door to the bed and breakfast that now is no longer that, Grey Goose Inn. And that's how we actually found our house. We'd stayed there several times, and Tim, the owner, said, "Oh, you guys would be great being, you know, and I want to retire." And anyway, the house is about 500 feet down the road from us where we ended up. But anyway, yeah, that's fantastic. So let's discuss a little bit about your art and everything, and even the current exhibit, but just how that, what pieces you have, what media you work in. And
well, I started out very curious about watercolor because I like the fluidity of it. I did do a lot of oil painting previously just by myself and was having some issues. So I took some courses, you know, some workshop courses, and then I started studying under Conrad Yostel, which is a local person that's here. He's passed away now in the 90s. And I worked with him since 1970. I moved to watercolors because I like the fluidity of it and the challenge of mixing colors and the using transparent layers by layering color on top of color. I've always been extremely curious about color and color phenomena. So I did that. And so I took some workshops, and the best advice I had is do it every day. It's a work ethic thing. It's not what it turns out to be. After you discipline yourself to paint and understand how to do it, the process of it, then creativity comes. And I got to the point where the creativity bloomed after I became very bored doing the same type of still life, same type of pictures over and over again. I thought, man, I cannot do another pretty picture. So one day I woke up and I was in kind of in a turmoil in my life. Things were going upside down. It was not a life that I thought I was going to have the rest of my days. And I started painting sinks full of dirty dishes, and they made me famous as an artist. And I started doing huge 4-foot by 6-foot watercolors of people sitting in the sinks full of dirty dishes, and they were all about what happens in your life. And that's how it started.
So
and
really,
then I went from sinks full of dirty dishes to commentaries about what I'm seeing and hearing and visually experiencing socially.
And you're listening to Lee Ligocki along with Karen Brown on Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. So you really, in your work, are showing what reality is like for people. It's gotten away from like the scenic things, kind of like what Kathy Lost Rathburn's done. She always had these beautiful scenic pictures, and now she's doing the industry of Northwest Indiana and Chicago scenes and stuff. So
yes, and what I do the black and white ink drawings all the time. And then what I do is I do large acrylics on canvas now, or small watercolors that are patterned. And I mainly play with color with an emotional point you know, a social and emotional point in it. So I play color against color. So if you look at my painting, oh, what a beautiful painting. But if you start really concentrating on it, it has a deep message.
Okay. Now, in the exhibit, what will we see if we go to the depot, which is on US 12, right on Beverly Shores there? It's a beautiful little place to stop by, and we'll talk about when you can get there. But what will we see when we come to the exhibit?
You'll see works that I have done since about 2008, and they're basically, a lot of the pieces have hands in them. They'll be between breaks. It's about... what I did every night to take a break, and I did write a kind of Zen book in relationship with those drawings. Then I did Trippin' Hands, which is storytelling using the hand as a metaphor, and I morphed the hand in at different positions and different social climates. Mm. So you kind of tell a story by the hand.
So with the hands, I read that you had an accident that damaged your hand. So
yes. In 2012.
So how is that rehabbed? And
2012, I completely tore apart my right hand, and I didn't think I'd ever be able to use it again. I have piano wires in my hand holding it together. They told me that I would probably not be able to use it again to the same extreme. And what I did is I taught myself to paint and draw left-handed, because going without creating art was not an option for me. It's been my passion and my sanity. It's been my best friend my entire life.
I know, and just doing that, making that change of using your other hand, probably just, did you see your art? Did your art take on a different path? Or
yes, it did. Yeah. It was much more detailed when I was a right-handed person, and by moving to the left, I was quite hindered in being able to do the details, because you're working absolutely backwards with a pencil. Mm-hmm. And I did not realize how that worked. Now I understand how a left-hand person has an issue, you know, in school, because they teach you one way, and your mind has to completely reverse it to go with the left hand. So I became more aware of patterns and colors and color relationships and juxtapositions of textures.
It's a great brain exercise, too.
Extremely, extremely. So I was in a cast from March, and they did not take the cast off till September 15th. Mm. So that many months I was without the use of my right hand.
Now, the title of your exhibit is Contemplating 70 Years?
Yes. And it's about how, over the 70 years of my lifetime, how I've sat back and observed things and observed people and listened, and how could I visually put that down? Because sometimes words are not enough, and how can I visually make someone experience the same experiences or same thoughts that I'm thinking?
So then when you start a piece, do you stick with it, or are you working on multiple disciplines? So you're starting a piece and maybe you're writing, or
a little bit of both. Mm. But when I start a piece, I start with a concept or just a particular idea, and I may think of one thing that's important in the piece. But as the piece progresses, I change. Mm-hmm. So I let the piece talk to me. I don't say, oh, it has to be this way. I mean, I've started out with a huge piece there, like Housewife, which is about the roles people have to take as a housewife. And then it started out with the concept. I was going to originally make it just as a female, and I thought, this is not right, because the role of a housewife is not gender specific anymore. So I made it non-conforming as a female. It's half female, half bones. And then, you know, I incorporated all these things that are relative to how we are as a housewife. So it evolved. Maybe this I didn't work, because it doesn't really fit with the piece. The other thing is, it's very, very important that I use the right color, the right space, you know, the right design. So I'm really aware of the elements and the principles of art when I do my pieces.
Can we see some of your pieces at your bed and breakfast?
oh, the house is full of it. Everybody comes in and says, oh my gosh, it looks like a gallery here.
I think we're all guilty of that. I know my house is that way. I always dreamed of having a house to display my work, and now it's like everywhere, except when stuff goes on exhibit, and then I have to swap things out. So how long is the exhibit going to be at the depot?
Until July.
July 6th. It is up through July 6th. And I highly recommend that people stop by because it's very interesting.
And the depot's open at what times?
Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, 11 to 3. And then we have an opening every second Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. We've already had that for Lee's exhibit, but it's worth coming out.
And you can also meet the lovely Irene Brown, no relation. But she is always there, the mainstay of that, and what a gem of a person to actually run that place.
She's a fabulous ambassador for the depot.
And for the dunes as a whole. So, well, that's why we moved on to Karen. Karen's going to have the next exhibit there. Well, first of all, let's talk about your work. You work in something completely different.
I work in glass, and I haven't always worked in glass. I used to work in clay and make clay sculptures, and health issues have prevented me from being able to work in clay any longer. So I had to find something to do with the really expensive equipment that I had. Primarily that you know, multiple $1,000 kiln that is in the garage. So I decided to play in glass, and had no idea what I was doing, but you can learn anything on the internet.
Oh, sure.
So I started to research the properties of glass, the physics of glass, what happens when glass is heated to a certain temperature, what are the elements of it, and started playing in the garage initially. I now have grown into a studio, thankfully. But initially I was in the garage and just experimenting. And while I don't have any formal training, I don't have any reserve at experimenting and trying things. And if something fails, and it never does, because failures are just an opportunity to learn something.
Exactly.
And use that new something in another way. So I've been working in glass for just 7 years.
Okay. Well, I one thing that's always striking is when you have a face in glass, I love the eyes. The eyes are always kind of piercing and mysterious in a lot of your work and everything.
Thank you. And you know that work, those, I've been doing faces recently. And the exhibit that I'm having are playing with patterns. So I'm like, I have to put a pattern somewhere in that face to make it fit. But I am really intrigued by faces. That is all done with powder. So very much like a sand painting, only upside down. So I will lay the eyes down, and then I'll lay down the face, and then I'll lay down the, you know, whatever comes next. And I can't see what I've already laid down until I surrender it to the kiln, and, you know, 20 hours later, pull it out and see whether what I've done has developed the way I expected it to, or something unexpected. And sometimes the unexpected is like Christmas morning, really excited. And sometimes the unexpected is like Christmas morning when your mother gave you socks. But it's always, always something interesting.
Now, you also are exhibiting with Alan.
Alan Spaeth is a friend of mine. And a year ago, a new friend of mine, a year ago I met Alan. And the night that I met him, I asked him to make a dress for me. I had done a piece that was just a rough outline of the depot. That it's a tile that we give to people who have in some way contributed to the depot, whether monetarily or in kind, with their expertise. And the depot had its 20th anniversary last year. And so we had this anniversary gala. And, you know, within a few hours of meeting Alan, I'm like, can you make me a dress? And so he took this tile and he made me a dress. Like 2 days later, I had the dress in hand. And it was a huge hit. And then we started talking about using my work as kind of the jumping off point for some designs. And so he's made, I think we're going to have 8, maybe 10 pieces in the exhibit of wearable art that is in some way related to the piece. So I'll send him a picture of a piece, and he'll manipulate it, and he'll, you know, change the orientation. The faces, the heads end up being two heads, and then they make a pattern, and then they, you know, just super interesting stuff. I'm excited. Can you tell?
Yeah, in researching Alan, his real life job is designing things for band color guards, uniforms, flags, the whole business. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm.
But what he does is really art. So right. Yes, it is you know, some kind of performance artware, but it is beautiful. I don't know if you watched the Rose Parade, but he had two units. He dressed two units in the Rose Parade this last year. And, you know, when I'm seeing them come down the street, I know immediately which ones Alan dressed, because there's such an artistic flair to it. You know, one had the rose kind of off on one shoulder and then exploding across the front.
Oh, I think I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
Alan's
very
work.
Striking. Yeah,
that's Alan's work. So he's pretty talented. He's amazing.
So he'll be there for the opening, which is?
July 12th.
Okay, and that's 5 to 8?
5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7.
We try to get out at 7 p.m. It never works.
Yeah.
but 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, July 12th.
Very good. And the depot is located, I've kind of talked about it, but tell us a little bit about where it is and how to get there.
So the depot is in the historic train station of the South Shore Line. And can I tell a little history?
Oh, yeah.
I can kind of get off track.
Oh, by all means.
A little
oh, no, that's not off track. That's perfect.
So the building, it is the former station master's residence. It
right.
was erected to serve as a residence for the station master and his family, and to be a point where tickets for the South Shore could be purchased. And the last station master lived in the depot until 1963. And then it sat empty and in a state of disrepair for about 20 years and was really in jeopardy of being torn down. A number of residents of Beverly Shores realized what a gem that could be, and they began obtaining the signatures and the necessary information to have it placed on the Registry of Historic Places, which occurred in 1989. So they did that, but the next step, well, they did that and that saved the building. The next step then was to raise the funds to rehabilitate the building because it was in a pretty sad state. And spent about 10 years obtaining grants, federal funds, donations, etc., and began rehabilitating it when those funds had been raised. It opened, well, we just had our 20th anniversary, so it opened in 1998, and, you know, in thinking about how to best use this building to serve the community, they opened up a history museum and an art gallery, and donations and the commissions on art fund the programming of the depot and kind of keep the depot going.
It's a beautiful little building. If you've not seen it, it's right there on US 12, and
Broadway.
And
so
Broadway.
So the address is 525 Broadway in Beverly Shores. So if you're going down Highway 12 and you've seen the neon sign that says Beverly Shores, that's the depot. Please stop by.
I have a photo of that, too. In fact, I'm taking a suggestion you gave me, is I'm going to work on a metal piece of just the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually, when I did that shot, it's at sunset and everything, and I went back and looked at it, and I said, oh, I've got one that's straight on to that. So, I mean,
oh, I can't wait to see that.
And that's something I think I may do a smaller version for the gift shop, because you have a gift shop there.
We have a gift shop there, yes. And everything in the gift shop is regionally made. So artisans from within 100 miles of the depot, we invite them to offer their work through the depot. And compared to what other galleries take, we take a very small commission. So it also right. allows artists that might not have representation elsewhere to get their work out there and to make it available to the public.
I have a few little pieces there, my little tiny guys gallery wraps there. It's a great little place. And you also get to meet Irene Brown.
And you get to meet Irene, which is just a sweetheart. And, you know, she'll tell you a little bit about the region. Or you can enjoy whatever the history exhibit
right.
right now. I think it is the Bartlett Homes, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Is currently on exhibit.
And I remember they had a thing about veterans in there at a point, and then there was another one about the actual old homes that were actually on the beachfront.
That was a very popular exhibit,
right.
The ones that used to be on the beach side of Lakefront Drive.
Right, and now it's no longer there. Those are all gone. So you're listening to Art in the Air, 103.1 FM, and our guest today is Karen Brown and Lee Lagacki, and they're talking about the Depot and the upcoming, not only Karen's upcoming exhibit, but the current exhibit that's there. And if you haven't been to the Depot, it's a great little stop. I remember one time I was there visiting with Irene just to pick up something or drop something off, and there was people on their bikes, and they were discovering the region and everything. And I, you know, between the two of us, we talked about, oh, yeah, you can do this. And they said, well, we need to come back, because they came down on the South Shore with their bikes.
Yep, it is a gem of a place, and it's a gem that's not well known. So, but I think more and more people are discovering it. We are a mile from the beach.
Right.
So if you're going to the beach, stop by the Depot. If you're coming back from the beach, stop by the Depot and check out what we've got inside.
There's a lot of little things happening on that corner, too. The they just built that new...
There's a new restaurant that just went in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of little things happening there. And the one place, if you're driving along, you don't see it right away, there's the Verix gas station there, right? So if...
Well, that's actually in Pines.
The gas station
right there is called Dunes Mart.
Dunes Mart, there you go.
Locally owned, great company, great little place to stop and get your snacks or
your ice cream cone.
Ice cream, yes. I have a dog, as everybody in my community knows. We take a golf cart ride down to the Dunes Mart to pick up our soft serve ice cream. I get the first lick. And after
then
that,
the dog
gets it. But it's great fun, and everybody likes, they just think it's hysterical to watch Jack, our dog, eat an ice cream cone.
Oh, sure.
In the way an ice cream cone should be eaten, by licking it one lick at a time.
So what do you have else coming up at the Depot after that exhibit? You have
My exhibit in July, which runs, I think, from the 12th to like August 6th or something like that. Then we have a group show. So we try to do a group exhibits at least once a season. And this year's group exhibit is called Keeping the Past Present. So I've asked artists to conceptualize something that is current using an old medium such as egg tempera or, using something that is an old image and then reinventing it with digitalization. So somehow marrying the past and the present and maybe even having an eye on the future. And that is going to be a group exhibit. We've had several people submit interest into that. So I think it's going to be a good show. In September is Pat Herman, and she's a watercolorist, and her work will be in the gallery through September. Her exhibit, I think, is called Inside and Out, because she's a plein air painter.
Okay.
So kind of, you know, showcasing works that she's done out of doors as well as those that she's done inside in her studio. And then we will close out the year with Into the Wild, with an exhibit by Sue Gombas, who is a wildlife artist. And she's going to have some work in the Depot in October. And then we'll close for the season.
Yeah. Not open in the wintertime.
We are not.
No, but maybe that's something in the future.
Well, you know, like the radio station here, we are reliant on donations to keep our doors open and to keep our programming. I do know that people oftentimes ask me about, can you be open longer? Can your hours be, you know, because we're just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that really depends on the funding that we get.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very important to, you know, like with all these non-for-profits, it's getting support and getting things going and everything like that. So, yeah, the Depot. So if you haven't been there, it's a great little place to visit. And if you're coming down on the South Shore and you happen to be listening, it's a great stop off there. And then go explore Beverly Shores, a beautiful little community there. And so you were talking about...
So start in Beverly Shores and then go to our newest national park.
Exactly, the 61st National Park. You know, that's so exciting that squeaked by in that February bill that funding bill that happened. It got in there. You were talking about the group exhibit. I've gone and revisited my old negatives and then repurposed them and reprocessed them. And I use a process in photography called HDR, which actually supposed normally what you do is you take a layers of images and everything, but there's a way to process it digitally. And I abuse it, the process, to make it look very painterly. So some of the things like that. I have an image, I think my Minnow Shack image would be a perfect version of that. It started out as this little image that I completely changed in the digital world. So,
We do have a photographer who has submitted his interest, and he's doing something with some kind of elements, like maybe silver or something.
Okay.
That used to be used in processing.
Oh yeah, the silver process. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're going to have some of those images in the show. We've also asked artists to have some kind of narrative that will be displayed along with their work that explains how their work meets that particular theme.
Right. Well, that's excellent.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. So what are you working on now, Lee?
Well, I'm working on large transparency drawings.
Oh, I love those so much.
In 1969 and 70, I worked for a company called Hinkles and McCoy, and I did layout drawings for construction sites where we worked on vellum. And what we did was we did multiple layers of drawings with ink. So I came up with this concept about 2017, and I started doing research about color. And I'm kind of like the Bauhaus type of mentality where I have to do the huge process and experimentation and to really explore. I love color, but I'm fascinated how color works. So I came with this process of using transparent medium, and so I use vellum, which is polyester, it's archival, and I do ink drawings on them. I do one red, one yellow, one blue, and one black. Because black is considered a neutral, plus it's also your mind, your eye and your mind plays tricks with it. It turns it into a color when it's next to another color. It's like almost reflective. And these are four layers, and then I stack these four layers randomly, and then I alter them. So I'll take the blue layer and put it on the top and shift the layers. And every time the layer shifts, there's a new color spectrum created and a new design, a new abstract. So
yeah, they're so brilliant.
Thank you. They got accepted into Art Prize, and I've done commissions this winter. I've done several commissions this winter with those stackable layers.
Kind of touches all my favorite. I love maps because it reminds me of all the topographical things, and I loved my geology classes, and it's like, it has that element to it. And then all the color play, it's just like, and shape play. And
well, and so she's done the big work that she has hanging on the walls in the depot. But then she's also done some, 8x10s?
Yeah.
Packets of these 8x10 vellums that then people can arrange on their own. And I did the math. I remembered my high school math, and I did the math, and I discovered that if you don't change the orientation, but you just alter what's on first or what's on top, 24 different compositions are possible with a packet of four. And if you then rotate them, I think that goes up to like 100 and some different compositions.
It's very exciting.
It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, and I absolutely love doing the work. It's very challenging because when I do the drawings, I'll do the yellow drawing. I'll put that yellow drawing completely away. It's out of my mind. The only thing I have to remember is I have to use the same elements and principles in it. So it has to contain the same kind of drawing textures and everything else. So they're cohesive in that part, but not cohesive by looking at the other piece. They are not drawn on top of each other. They're literally one drawing at a time taken off and put aside.
And so is that what informed, the little piece that you did for the 5x5? It was sort of your painted version of that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's how I did.
Yeah.
And like I said, I really love playing with colors, and the fact that I like to break...
And perspective.
Yes, and I like breaking down color to the minimal amount, but making it look like the full spectrum. Mm-hmm. So by playing opposites... And putting tertiary and secondary colors next to each other making it look like it's secondary colors, but it's actually not. I'll put a green next to a red and a blue next to the red, and the red becomes orange. So that's how I'm working. Mm-hmm. So it's really technically, you know, executed.
And beautiful.
Thank you.
Esther brought up
interesting.
Esther brought up something that we talk about is the 5x5 exhibit. Why don't you tell a little bit about that? It's a once a year fundraiser.
Well, yes, the 5x5 exhibit was something that we started last year, based on an exhibit that that originated in Oklahoma, also a fundraiser, and so it's been kind of executed in various cities. But we purchased 5-inch by 5-inch frames and 5-inch by 5-inch canvases, and we invited artists to come in and take a canvas, take a frame, make a piece of art, and then they donate it back to the depot, and the depot then offers those to our visitors, and the funds from that particular exhibit go back to the depot to support our programming. And it's great fun. We're going to do it again next year because the artists love it. Our visitors love it. It's a little bit like first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a red dot when you come in the door. If you are going to purchase a claim tag, your claim tag is a red dot with a number on it.
Which is $55.
Which is $55 playing with the 5 theme. And it's in May, the 5th month. And so you take your little red dot and you put it underneath whatever piece of work you are drawn to, as long as it doesn't have a red dot there already. Once it's dotted, it's
done.
Belongs to somebody else. And this year we had a hidden wall. We decided to add a little bit of drama. So we had one of the walls covered up, and as we're raising the cloth that had covered up this wall, this arm comes out like Stretch Armstrong. Mm-hmm. Remember him from the 80s?
Right.
That toy that you could stretch his arm. I swear this guy was like 2 rooms away, and this arm just kind of like stretched out into the and put his red dot on before anybody else got the coveted piece. It was great fun.
And you have a lot of people that show up to that thing.
We do. It's a very popular event.
Well, any final thoughts? Because we're about ready to wrap up here on the show on the air.
Well, we're looking forward. We invite everybody to come out to the depot and to see the work that is on display there. I hope you'll join, you know, come out and see Lee's stuff while it's up. Come out next month and see my stuff. It will be great fun.
Very good. Lee, any final thoughts?
Yes, as an artist, just keep doing it.
That's always a good advice. Well, we had a wonderful show here with Karen Brown and Lee Legaki here on Art in the Air. Next week, we're going to have Bonnie Kolak, right?
Yes, that's the amazing, wonderful Bonnie Kolak.
Yeah, so that'll be on our June 28th show. You've been listening to Art in the Air. I'd like to thank our guests today for being on. Art in the Air is heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. We're your hosts, Larry Breckner, Esther Golden. And once again, thanks to Greg Kovach for keeping us on the air.
Yeah, thank you so much, Greg.
If you're interested in being a guest or send us information, once again, about your arts-related event, exhibit, or appear as an artist, please email us at artontheair@wvlp.com. That's Art on the Air, wvlp@gmail.com. You can also hear all of our archive shows at Breck, that's BRECH.com/AOTA. So we hope you enjoyed today's show, and we hope to listen to you soon. See you next week right here on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone.
Ounce by ounce, putting it together. Small amounts, adding up to make a work of art. First of all, you need a good foundation. Otherwise, it's risky from the start. Takes a lot of earnest conversation.
But without the proper preparation,
having just the vision's no solution.
Everything depends on execution.
The art of making art is putting it together,
bit by bit,
note by note, working on projection. Lips, teeth, throat, looking for a moment to inhale. Keeping the emotional connection, even when your fellow actors fail.
Pointing up the subtext by inflection,
helping your director reach perfection.
Even though you have a strong objection to the way she's handling the direction.
Art isn't easy. Every minor detail is a major decision. Have to keep things in scale, have to hold to your vision.
even when you're feeling apprehensive that you're looking bland and inoffensive.
And you wish your wardrobe was extensive.
Don't forget that spangles are expensive.